Welcome to another Ag Perspectives podcast here from the Radio Oklahoma Network and Oklahoma Farm Report. I'm Ron Hayes. Earlier today, we had the opportunity to hear from Governor Kevin Stitt, who addressed members of the Oklahoma Farm Bureau during their annual leadership conference being held in Oklahoma City. The governor kicking off the conference, his remarks the first of several being offered by state lawmakers and officials of the government of the state of Oklahoma. He says the rural areas of the state of Oklahoma allowed him to be governor, and he told Farm Bureau members that this afternoon. Here's his remarks made to Farm Bureau members at their leadership conference.
Well, thank you guys so much. It's such an honor to be with you, and I'll tell you, when I walk into these kind of meetings and I see all the cowboy hats, it just makes me feel right at home, and I know I'm in Oklahoma. And then especially, you know, Monty, he's trying to teach me how to do that, mustache deal. And I'm trying to ask my campaign team if I'm allowed to grow one. And I love Monty. He's fantastic. But a little bit about kind of my rural background. Some of you guys might remember, but my heroes were my two granddads. And my dad's dad was the head vet at the Oklahoma City Stockyards for 25 years. So if you didn't meet him, he retired in the 80s. Your cows probably met him if you shipped through any steers or cattle through there for the last 25 years and sometime in the early mid-80s. And then my mom's dad, Blue Williams, was a dairy farmer in Skytook, Oklahoma. And he had an eighth grade education. And so anytime I ever feel sorry for myself that I'm getting up too early or I'm working too hard, I really quickly remind myself that Granddad never got the weekend off and had to get up at 3 in the morning every single morning his entire life. So sometimes us city folks, you know, we get to look forward to the weekend, to sleeping in a little bit. And I just remind myself every Saturday and Sunday that Granddad didn't get that opportunity. So thanks all to the agricultural folks that move our state forward. It's such an important part of our fabric. And it's who, you know, I loved spending my summers up there hauling hay and working with my grandparents and having biscuits and gravy and steak in the morning. I mean, grandmother, there's nobody that could cook biscuits and gravy better than my grandmother. I know y'all might disagree with your grandmother's biscuits and gravy, but I'm telling you, Thelma Williams, it was always the best. But man, you know, like Rod said, you know, rural Oklahoma is one of the big reasons I'm standing here before you. And so I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me this opportunity to serve as your governor. It's been a blast. I've been on the job now for, 4 or 5 weeks? And a couple quick highlights. You know, the first night, we got inaugurated on Monday. So me and my family spent the first night in the governor's mansion. It was kind of a weird feeling, you know. I mean, it takes a while to get used to being governor. All right, so we wake up that next morning, and we're fixed to go to the prayer service. My wife was like, well, will you go grab me a cup of coffee while I'm getting dressed? And I'm like, well, I'm not really dressed. Am I allowed to walk downstairs? There's, like, staff down there. And so she goes, yeah, I think it'll be fine. So I go downstairs to the governor's mansion. I'm in my long johns. And I said, am I allowed to walk around like this? And they go, sir, we've seen every governor in their underwear. You're fine, so you're cool. So it made me feel good, but it's fun. I mean, it just my 4-year-old running around and playing, and next thing I know, they call me from the guardhouse. They go, hey, your 8-year-old said it was okay to drive the golf cart around the grounds. Is that okay? And I go, yeah, it's fine. Let him go. So there's like lights on the golf cart, so he's like playing, running around, and so it's just a lot of fun for our family. But just a couple other real quick highlights. I have had a great time. I've been touring the different state agencies. And what I find amazing, I've been to probably 20 of them now, is I'm the first governor, in a lot of cases, the first governor in 30, 40 years that's ever even stopped by those agencies. I went by the Department of Education last week, and they said 1991, a governor held a press conference there. Before that, it was 1974 when they dedicated that building, was the last time that anybody had stopped by. Nobody walked the halls like I did. So coming from the private sector, CEO of my own company, I loved hanging out with my team members and my employees. And so I'm going around shaking hands with everybody. And they've worked for the state for 25 years, and they just thank me. Kevin, we've never met a governor before. Thanks for coming by. And I just say, hey, thanks for your hard work. I said, I'm your new coworker. I started 3 weeks ago and wanted to find out when we're going to have our potlucks here at the office. And they think that's pretty funny. But agriculture, we went by and Blaine gave us a tour of the Department of Ag and got a chance to walk the halls and meet the employees. And we have some fantastic employees that are trying to move our state forward. And so I'm so excited to lead and set the vision and the strategy. And I've been very clear that we have a fantastic state. We have a state that I believe can be top 10 at everything that we do. And so it is so exciting to see my secretaries, my cabinet, start moving that agenda forward and start talking about becoming top 10. And so, you know, when I first started and got started, the first thing you have to do is kind of get your arms around the agencies. And the governor is supposed to be the chief executive of the executive branch. We're supposed to run the different agencies. Well, there's 120 agencies, and there's all these boards and commissions. There's about 400 of them. So they're all supposed to report up to their cabinet secretaries. So constitutionally, you can have 15 cabinet secretaries. So what I did, first thing I started working on after winning in November, was starting to put together how my cabinet was going to be structured. And I went back and I looked at Frank Keating's cabinet and Fallon's cabinet and Governor Walters, and I went all the way back as far as I could find how they structured their organization. And I made a lot of tweaks. Like, for example, there was never a case where a governor had a chief operating officer, what I call a COO of agency accountability. So I created a secretary of agency accountability. It's a guy named John Budd. And so all the cabinet secretaries report to John Budd. And he has a totally different skill set than me. He's very process-oriented, detailed. He was a Sonic executive, and he worked for a Boston consulting firm and is used to going into companies and analyzing what is the mission, what does success look like, and then how do we deliver better results and then hold them accountable to those changes. Because at the end of the day, folks, you know, this is about running a big service organization. State government is a big service organization. It's the best roads and bridges, the best education system. It's the best healthcare system, and it's delivering results. And so I made that a title in my cabinet. And then I did a couple other things. Used to, you know, commerce and tourism were put together. And so that didn't make a lot of sense because I really want to focus on economic growth and development in the rural areas and the urban areas, and because we don't need more taxes. We need more taxpayers. I've got to expand the economy and diversify the economy. And so I broke up, and I have just a Secretary of Commerce. And like Rod was saying, one thing that I decided to do is most of the time they would just take the agency head. Okay, the person running the agency, they make them their secretary, okay? Because the way the governor's budget works, there's not any money just for the secretary positions. So I had to get a little creative, okay? And I had to ask a whole bunch of people to come work for me for free, all right? Have you ever tried to do that? So my secretary positions, a lot of times, I got Sean Copeland, who is, he's from south of Okmulgee, Beggs. Yeah, he's from Beggs. A good friend of mine, I went to Oklahoma State with him, and he's the CEO of Regent Bank. And I said, listen, I need you to come spend half your time and help me with commerce. And then we were looking for, but who understands the nuts and bolts of, you know, roads and water and what a company needs and utilities? And we found the perfect one in Brett Kissling. So he was economic development out of Enid. And one of the things I loved about that is he had landed and helped put together Koch Industries, moved to Enid. They invested $1.3 billion in a new facility in Enid, and he was right in the middle of that thing. And so I recruited him to come run commerce, and then with Sean Copeland and some of the other things we're doing, we are really, really excited about commerce. And then I split out tourism and branding. I think Oklahoma needs a new brand. And that's where the lieutenant governor, who I think he's going to speak to you in a minute, he's fantastic. He's going to be a great ambassador for the state. There he is. He's leading his own clap. There he goes. Have you ever somebody said your name and y'all led the clap? Can you believe that just then? No, but he, so I said, listen, come be on the cabinet. You lead tourism and branding. And so he's going to be a fantastic ambassador and salesperson for the state. So looking forward to working with Lieutenant Governor Pinnell and helping on that front. So that's kind of, you know, and then health and human services used to be together. That was like an $8 billion. There's about 100 agencies that reported to that one person. So I split that up. And I have a health and mental health. And then I have a human services, kind of child services person. And so anyway, just what I wanted you to understand is kind of going through the different secretaries. And then you have to take all the agencies and make sure they're reporting to the right person. So what would you do with the Santa Claus Commission? Where would that go? I'm not joking. There's actually a Santa Claus Commission that I had to figure out which secretary that reported to. And so you have to get the structure right before you can get your arms around what we're doing with the taxpayers' dollars. And I was elected to make sure that I did things differently, that I thought about things differently, that I brought a business approach to state government. And I take that very, very seriously. I'm driving my staff crazy because I'm literally interviewing 10 people per position. And then I'm making them bring 5 people back for a second round of interviews. Because these are big agencies. These are 7,000 person agencies, 1,000 person agencies, spending $1 billion of the taxpayers' dollars. And so you have to have the right people, or we're not going to get any kind of the change or anything that better results that I think we deserve as Oklahomans. So spend a lot of time on organization and getting that thing right. So the biggest thing after I got that all structured, then what I found out. Was the agencies don't really report to my secretaries. And I was like, well, that's weird. How do we make change? And so what happens is, you know, these agencies kind of spin the legislature in a circle. They spin the governor in a circle. So one of my biggest reforms is asking the legislature to give me the authority to oversee those agencies, to make sure that there's the right accountability. And so the healthcare authority, for example, it spends $5.5 billion and administers Medicaid through our state. We're the only state, all 49 other states, give the governor the oversight of that agency, and we don't have it here. And so what happens is if they don't get what they want or they don't get the money that they want, then they go right to the press or they run different stuff and they you know, say stuff to try to get their way because there's not really the accountability. It's almost like a fourth leg of the government. So that's one of the biggest reforms that I'm looking for is we have to get the structure right, the accountability right to really move the needle. So that's I'm working with the House, the Senate. We're really, really close to kind of nailing down the language there. And what's also weird is if the House passes something and the Senate passes something, but it's, you know, it's got different language there, then they just kind of go over to their chambers, and you're still in the same kind of mess. So I'm really trying to, behind the scenes, negotiate that language so we can come out of both chambers with an agreed upon what we're going to do, and it just immediately moves forward. So that's what I've been really working with the leadership to push forward here recently. The other thing that I did, you know, within the last 4 weeks was wrote my executive orders. And I don't know if you guys saw some of those, but the Department of Public Safety is something that I take very, very seriously. And Rusty Rhodes is going to be a fantastic public commissioner there. But anyway, I went back through and I started looking at their aviation department. And as a business person, I'm a pilot, love aviation. But I saw that they had like 15 different airplanes and helicopters and different stuffs. And then I looked at the time that they flew every one of them, and it didn't make sense. It's much cheaper if you wanted to fly a King Air or a jet to lease it versus what it was costing us in that agency. And because I have the authority to run that agency, they're reporting up through the cabinet structure correctly, I was able to say, we're going to sell that airplane, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to put more troopers back on the streets, and I was able to make those decisions quickly. And so that's what it's going to take to actually move the needle. And, you know, people tell me, they say, Kevin, they go, oh, that's not material. It's not that much money in the grand scheme of things. Our state spends $20 billion. And I said, listen, here's my saying at my company. If it's more than a ham sandwich, I'm going to worry about it, and we're going to fix it. Because if I take care of the small things, the big things add up. And if I show my team exactly, and I start setting that culture, like we're going to take care of the small things, and if something doesn't make sense, then you're going to be shocked at the end of the year how the big things add up. And that's the thing I tell the legislature. I said, listen, here's the other thing. You've probably heard this, but we have approximately $600 million more in revenue this year, right? Because of some of the tax increases that happened last year and oil prices coming back a little bit, economy recovering. There's $600 million more in revenue. You know how much the agencies ask for their appropriations? You know how much extra money they're banging on the legislature and me for right now? $3 billion. They're asking for $3 billion more in spending, okay? Because that's the game that's played. It's like, how much can I ask? They sandbag everything, hoping they get this much, right? And I told the legislature, wait till next year. Wait till you give me the authority to actually oversee and manage these agencies, and they will ask for less money next year because I'm going to dig into every single detail, hold them accountable, and at least when we do ask for something, you're going to have much more confidence that it's stuff that we actually need in our state. So I'm so excited to move the needle on that. Once we get the agency accountability, that is going to help us, you know, really move the needle in education and healthcare and move the needle on down the road. Because if we keep doing the same things that we've done, nothing's going to change. And so that's why I'm really excited about this year, and we're close on that. You know, and then the budget. One of the things that I did differently on the budget is, you know, before they always talk about just appropriated dollars, meaning what the state actually gives them to appropriate. But in actuality, this is something most people didn't understand. I didn't know this as I'm running my business back in Tulsa. That's only 40% of really what they spend. The other money is federal dollars. It's fees. It's other income that those agencies get. They never really talk about that. They always talk about, hey, we were cut this amount from the appropriated dollars, all right? So in my budget, the first governor that did it, I took the top 12 agencies, because this can get overwhelming. If you think about, there's 400 different agencies for my administration to get my arms around, it can get overwhelming, right? Where do you start? How do you do it, right? So I said, guys, we're going to focus on the top 12 agencies in order. That is spending 90% of our taxpayers' dollars, the top 12 agencies. So really, all I have to do is get my arms around these top 12. And so I rolled out a budget for the very first time that's talking total dollars. It's talking about the federal dollars. It's talking about the appropriated dollars. And then it also gave a five-year look of exactly what's happened over the last 5 years, so you can see as citizens. So I really encourage you to get my executive budget, read it. And the whole thing is like 400 pages, but the executive portion of it's only like a couple pages, so you can get through that really quick. And then I had every agency also define their mission and what are their goals. How can we hold them accountable? What are their top three things they're trying to accomplish? So I really think that's going to help the legislature get their arms around, you know, what we're doing and how we're moving forward. So, again, just to kind of wrap up in closing, it is an honor to be with you. Just wanted to thank rural Oklahoma and the agriculture community for helping me, for entrusting me. I can't wait. I know Blaine Arthur just announced that she's going to be traveling the state, and had a meeting with her this morning. I said, I want to come with you when you head out and you tour some of the different farms and businesses. I want to be with you. So we're going to set that up over the next couple weeks. So can't wait to get to your communities. Thank you so much for your support. I need your prayers. And we are going to turn Oklahoma around and become a top 10 state. So thank you guys so much. God bless you.
Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.